Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello everyone, we wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the propertymanagementmastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. Hey everybody, in today's episode, I interview Jason Hall from DoorGrow. And some of the things that we talk about are his upcoming conference, some of his new products that he's coming out with, and some of the new systems he's getting ready to throw out there at his conference. So it's a very good interview to kind of hear what's going on outside of the industry of what the norms are. So let's take a listen. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson. And today's guest, I have Jason Hall from DoorGrow Show. And he's going to be talking to us a little bit about some of the other stuff we see in the industry. And as an objective player inside of the industry, it's great to have him on because he's doing what a lot of us need. He's helping people become good marketers. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to have a great conversation about all kinds of different topics. So we've got a good outline of stuff we want to touch on. So without further ado, Jason, how are you today?
I am fantastic. A little tired from being in NARPM, but the national conference, but I'm great.
Both you and I were there last week in San Diego. I was there for a couple of days and flew home early. And I imagine you stayed as a vendor the entire time and got home, you know, later this weekend. Mm-hmm. So kind of start this off. Tell us more about, you know, your start and your background. Because as you and I were talking in the pre-show, a lot of people don't know your background. And so a lot of times what we say is they jump in the middle. They're like, they contact you and they work with you and they see you, but they don't really know the whole backside story from the beginning. So let's go back a little bit and tell us more about your background and your start.
Yeah, everybody asks, how did you get into property management? Do you have a property management business? And the answer is no, I don't. So the way I got into this is I started a web design agency probably in 2008, at the end of 2008. And at the same time, my brother had just bought into a real property management franchise. And he was fresh out of college. He was trying to get things going, didn't have any doors. He was doing this with his college buddy, business partner, Kyle. And they're now at 1,200 doors and in Orange County, California. And so they're doing well now. But back when he started, he said, hey, can you help me with my website? I got this website from corporate. It's not really something I'm feeling really great about. Can you give me some suggestions? So I gave him some ideas. He made some changes based on, I said, you know, add some faces, add some bullet points, you know, make this easy for people to kind of digest. And we looked at it. And so he made a couple of little changes, had them do it. And he's like, I still don't like it. Can you just do something for me? You know, based on all the feedback you're giving me, I think you can make something more effective. So I was like, all right. So I built him, and I was just a solopreneur at the time. So I built him a website, and then, I mean, it was really at the forefront of what a marketing-oriented website should be. And we noticed that all the websites on the market were focused on like pay rent and like tenants and on operations. And shortly thereafter, we had web design companies starting to copy what we do in the space. And a lot of the top franchisees of that franchise started like working with us, guys with thousands of doors. And they already had some really good clout on Google. And so we started getting these great backlinks. And within a really short period of time, we were on the first page of Google for property management website design and property management websites and stuff like that, and competing against some Goliaths that have been around for a while.
Google they love the custom content. That's for sure. I think that's a no-brainer. So real quick side question. This is a surprise question. Is your brother still with the RPM franchise in Orange County?
I'm not quite sure. I think they're sticking with it. I think they were planning on leaving, but looks like they're sticking with it.
Yeah, because that always ends up being a very strategic conversation is when property management company owners buy into a franchise and they get going, they get started and they start to get large and they start to get into the business and have an experience. And then they all of a sudden say, well, I don't know if I really need the franchise any longer. And so that's why I asked that question, totally off the wall, because it starts another conversation that's a complete tangent. But back to what you're doing on the marketing side, products and services that you offer, this is where I want you to dive in and kind of tell us more about what you do.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, so long story short, we started then getting clients all over the US. And so I would spend a ton of time with property management companies. And I'm a marketer, my degree is in marketing, and I look at things a bit differently. And so I would spend on average maybe 6 to 8 hours mapping out how to make their website really effective with each client. So I got really intimately familiar with property management businesses. And I was working with some that were very successful. In fact, I thought all of them were companies with thousands of doors and lots of money. And I thought, hey, this is great. And this is a great little niche. And I really enjoyed working with property managers because they think a lot more like me. They love process. They love systems a lot of times, and they're entrepreneurial. And so they were just really fun clients to work with. And I kind of fell in love with the industry. Eventually, we realized that not everybody had thousands of doors, right? In fact, the majority of the people I think managing properties out there probably have 50, 60 units or less. And it's a side hustle almost, and they're struggling and they can't even break past 100 doors. And we found that in order to work with us, they had to really be at about 200 to 400 doors to afford to work with us. And that's about the stage where people could maybe start doing some marketing, spend some serious money on a website, doing some stuff that's effective. So I sat down and I was like, how can I create 200 to 400 door companies? How can I take this mass of property management businesses that are struggling and starving and looks like they're all doing, you know, making the same mistakes and trying to compete with the biggest companies by doing the same things that the biggest companies are doing, which they can outspend them any day. I mean, it's like David fighting Goliath, but David wearing a sword and shield and armor and trying to fight with the same weapons. He's getting his ass kicked like every day of the week. And so I was looking at all these small businesses. I'm like, how would I help them get to, you know, be larger? What would I have my brother do? What would I tell my dad to do, who just started a property management company like 2 or 3 years ago? He's at like 200 doors now. What would I tell them to do? And so I put together this roadmap and took a look at their sales process and identified what are the biggest leaks or constraints that exist in their sales pipeline, all the way from awareness to getting a contract. And so I just, right before a webinar, I was doing a webinar with Clint Collins of BMG Rent. He eventually got swallowed into Home River Group. And we were chatting. He runs Rent Like a Pro. And we were like, hey, like, I just mapped it out. I was like, this is what they need to do in order to grow and break past that 100-door barrier. And just over time, I started identifying all the major constraints and things that were keeping them, you know, holding them hostage. So I built this program. And we call it now the Seed Program. And it's basically the ultimate foundation for growth. It's everything that a property management business should have done when they were starting their company, if they knew how to do it correctly on the front end. And, or it's the ultimate sort of startup package or process or program to go through to grow their business. And we found that originally I designed it so that I could create marketing clients. Ironically, it was so effective at helping them grow more organically and get more warm leads, that they no longer wanted cold leads or wanted to do marketing with us. And so we had to pivot as a company, and that became a core initial product offering, that foundation. And now we've moved on more into consulting to help them grow their companies.
So tell me more about the seed package. Is that what you call it?
I'm kind of what we call it, the seed program now, because the package, a lot of people thought it was a box of stuff. They thought it was just a website and maybe some ancillary items. And really, we're asking people to do really uncomfortable things, like change their branding, change their business name, fire doors that are costing them 10 times the overhead because they're crappy, you know, stuff like this. And so we're taking them through a process to rehab their business so that it is effective.
Well, that's pretty valuable, because a lot of times, you know, you get into this rut and you don't know what exactly you could or should be doing necessarily. Because there is no playbook for this industry. There's no, this is how you do it from one to A to Z. So that's very interesting how that works. So it's more of a consulting type with a few products thrown in here and there to assist in that. From what I can tell, the folks that you've helped are very, very loyal. They appreciate what you're doing for them, because not only are you giving them kind of the tools to make themselves better, you do offer a little bit of coaching, I would say. I mean, it's more
consulting. Definitely coaching.
And that encompasses not just, hey, you do this in your business, you know, show up on time, do the right thing. It's more along the lines of life coaching. I mean, that's a weird term sometimes people don't like, but sometimes I notice that you do offer, you know, some very good things about, you know, living a good life, like being a good person, if you're doing the right things, and, you know, there's karma involved in that. So, I mean, I think that's part of your background there, being from a Southern California thing, right? You got a little on there, right? I had to give you a jab there, but
no, I don't know. I'm a pretty crazy Californian. I mean, I'm actually a Trump fan, so I'm probably offending half your listeners right now. But I love entrepreneurism, man, and I think that you cannot segregate being an entrepreneur from your personal life. You cannot segregate running your business from your physical body. You know, like all of these things are tethered together. And so you can't be a badass in business and be on point and be present and conscious with people if you're sick and tired, or if your marriage is falling apart, or and you're distracted. And so I found that some clients, in order to get them, when I was coaching clients, in order to get them from point A to point B, and point A is they're struggling in their business, and point B is they want to be growing and have a healthy business, I had to get them out of the way first. I had to get their life aligned a little bit. And I invest probably 50 to 60 grand a year just in personal development, in coaches, mentors. I have a fitness coach. I've got abs for the first time in my life. I've got a fitness coach. He does nutrition stuff for me. I just do what he tells me to do. He's an expert. I have a profit first coach, an accountant. She helps us figure out how to financially help grow and scale our business. I've got a business coach who is amazing. He's helped me triple our revenue, and he's very focused on the biohacking and the personal optimization side of things. And he's been a game changer for my marriage, for my kids, like everything, just the advice that I've gotten. And I've invested in like relationship coaches, and there's probably others I'm not even thinking of right now. And that's not even including like trainings and programs and books. I'm always investing myself, because that's the only way I can invest in clients. And I think that's something for business owners to take a look at. If you're not investing in yourself, and you're walking around trying to expect other people to invest in you and sign up with your business, there's a disconnect there.
Where does this take you into the long-term goals? Because all those coaches and everything else is a great benefit to the clients that you work with, because they're getting secondhand coaching in a sort of a fashion. I mean, you're learning stuff from those coaches and you're passing it along to your clients. Where does this tap into the long-term goals for what you're doing in the industry?
Well, I mean, I have to admit, I've kissed a few frogs when it comes to coaches. I mean, some are just savvy marketers, but I still learned from them. I watched them. I learned how they did marketing, but they were terrible coaches. And I've had some that are terrible marketers, but they're great coaches. Right. And I think I absorb and watch everything. And I think that's one of my areas of genius, is that I'm able to take a lot of things that seem disconnected or don't seem to make sense and piece them together into something that makes a lot of sense. And so I think that's how I put together our seed program. It really, when I explain it to people at first glance, people are like, that makes no sense. I don't see how that's going to grow my business. So our challenge at DoorGrow is I'm selling something that people aren't even asking for or looking for. Like they think they need SEO. They think they need pay-per-click. They think they need content marketing. They think they need social media marketing to grow their business. And I've got clients that aren't focusing on any of that, and they're outpacing anybody else in their market.
Let's talk about one thing you coined as the cycle of suck. I think that's a good topic to bring up because that can expand into every little bit of life cycle that you're going to see inside the leasing, management, business, et cetera. So touch on that for us, please.
So ask me again.
Cycle of suck, that you coined that phrase.
Okay.
So dive right into that.
So this is something that I identified pretty early on, and it was this trap. I noticed that not just companies are in, but I think the entire industry as in aggregate is inside this cycle of suck. And I call it the property management cycle of suck or property management hell. So hell is basically this. You take on any client, and this is the first big mistake, you take on any client because you feel like you're needy and you need to get business on. And so you take on crappy owners. They micromanage you. They try to tell you how to run your business. They want safety and certainty. And if you don't provide that, they're going to create it. And so then what happens is you have crappy properties. Even if the properties are brand new, remodeled, amazing, if you have a crappy owner at the helm, it's a bad property in your portfolio. Your operational cost could be 10 times higher. Some people say, like when I explain this, they're like 100 times higher, but it could be way higher because these properties take so much more work, energy, and effort and stress to deal with. And if you have crappy owners and crappy properties, then you're going to have crappy tenants. It doesn't matter how much tenant screening you do, whether they all have A-grade credit and they're amazing people. If you are basically like pushing back or the owner's pushing back on things that need to be done, that tenant becomes a crappy tenant. And they view you like a slumlord. And so you basically become a shit shield for a slumlord, essentially, is what happens. And no property manager wants to be in that position. It's uncomfortable. And then, so if you have crappy owners, crappy properties, and crappy tenants, then you're going to have a crappy reputation in your market. You're going to have a crappy reputation online. And then what happens is, guess what kind of owners you start to attract? Only the crappy ones, right? And so this is this cycle, this loop, this cycle of suck. And so the way to escape it is to create some sort of filtration at each of these four stages, right? Everybody does tenant screening, but how many people are doing owner screening? How many people are doing property screening? And how many people have some sort of screening system in place for their online reputation? And so these are some of the things that we want to get clients to understand so that they can escape property management hell. Because if you got rid of all the bad fluff and crappy doors in your portfolio, that enables you to take on far more and be far more profitable and spend far more time focusing on growth.
Let's touch on something there for a fun little topic on a side note. Let's talk on reputation. And so this is one of the things that I've seen that is hot online. That people want to know is how do you respond to negative reviews? I mean, this is an ever-ending question. So there's going to be several schools. And I would imagine what you're going to say is going to be different from what I'm going to say. So I want to give you the first at-bat here. Talk about how you respond to negative reviews online.
So I like to take a step back further because a negative review is evidence that you failed somewhere. There's some sort of failure in the process, perhaps, right? So I believe that most people want to get resolution rather than just go to DEFCON 5 and go nuclear and destroy you on Yelp, for example. So, but the problem is most customers don't have a voice. There's no real feedback system in most property management companies for them to bypass your frontline staff. So what happens is we create a natural barrier to feedback as a business owner, right? Because we hire people to take stuff off our plate as business owners and entrepreneurs. And we create this natural barrier between us and the customer. We move our office into the back. We're no longer the front desk person. Our extension gets hidden. We don't give out our cell phone anymore. We create this barrier to feedback between us and our customer. And then our frontline staff are dealing with them. Our frontline staff, we assume they're doing a great job. But most business owners really don't know until it ends up on Yelp and it says, Susie, your front desk person was a jerk to me, right?
Because I think that technique is perfect. We do the same thing. We give them an online review type of a scenario, like rank us, you know, you got the smiley faces and whatever that's called. And then they can, make comments on our website. And that's an interception method. So you're trying to intercept the bad reviews before they go DEFCON 5, which is a great term, before they go online Yelp and start just becoming internet terrorists. However, where we want to go, I mean, all that is smart. And I think that's, everyone needs to do that. Where I want to go with this is, so let's say you do all that and then you get the negative Yelp review from an outgoing tenant. Let's pick up
my take on how to, so I have a book on this, an ebook called The 13 Rockstar Tips to Get Reviews That Don't Suck. Right. And it's a little ebook, but in it, basically what I talk about in how to deal with negative reviews is, one, you got to respond to them.
Sure.
You need to respond to them. And then you need to be unemotional. That's the biggest temptation and challenge, because we get emotionally like triggered or turned on or upset or frustrated. And we want to take, and that's an emotional response. We want to be emotional towards it. And so sometimes it's helpful to have somebody like review our response before we send it. That's disconnected or not emotional. It could be your spouse. Like, hey, look at this. Does this sound like I'm like being angry or mean or whatever? So you want to be factual and you want to be emotionally like almost turned off, cold in your response, but you want to be helpful. So a good response would be something like, hey, we're sorry that you had this experience with us. We are always looking at making things better. We understand we're not perfect, but we've taken some strides based on your feedback to make some changes. We hope you'll give us a second chance. You know, something along those lines. Now, if somebody's being outrageous,
right, that's very,
and you can call them out on it, yeah, I'd say go for it.
This is what we do, and that's exactly it. That's the PC answer I would expect to hear, and that's a smart answer, honestly. But what we've taken the hard stance on is, if we get that outgoing tenant, we hammer them hard, and we go straight into them, and we, you know, if they come in and accuse us of doing this, that, and the other, we post everything we can. I've even gone as far as building a separate web page on my website, responding to that review, and then taking that link and pointing people to that. Now, Jason Hull would never recommend this, but this
No, I would. In my ebook, I also talk about like the people that are completely unreasonable. I share examples. I mean, some people have tried to destroy businesses when they go DEF CON 5, but if you have evidence, if you have facts, if you have things that can, you know, showcase them, those reviews will disappear real fast.
Yeah.
Right, because they don't want to look bad. Because there's people that leave bad reviews because they're trying to look good.
Yep,
that's it.
Yep.
They just think that they are cool. In fact, Yelp kind of promotes these people, and they call them the Yelp elite or the influencers. And they even throw parties for these people at Yelp, and these people just go around and destroy businesses for fun.
Yeah, and that's the other maddening part, is those reviews float to the top. Even though you might have 55-star reviews, the 1-star reviews will magically float to the top. Float to the top, regardless of chronological order, which drives me absolutely insane. And so the stance we've taken again is that we hammer those responses. And here's the thing that it does. We've gotten business from owners because they read my reviews, my responses, and where I just hammer them, just like, go attack that tenant that's attacking you, saying, you didn't pay rent on time, you left the home a mess, you're an awful tenant, thanks for responding, have a nice life. Because that's sometimes you have to say that. If I'm not going to be apologetic unless we really screwed up. And then you may want to go offline and try to contact the person, see if they
right. I think when your team does screw up, or when somebody does screw up, though, it shows this it shows that you're open, and it shows a sense of humility. And I think everybody responds to that. And so there are going to be mistakes, you know, especially if it's an owner leaving the review or something like that. You know, some sort of admission. And then, so there's this book called The 5 Languages of Apology. And I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, but some people like really resonate with seeing that you've learned something and that you're going to do something different. Some just like seeing that you say sorry. Some like seeing that you've experienced some sort of pain or something like this, right? So there's these different sort of responses. And I think those can all be kind of incorporated into that, so that people that see this will go, oh my gosh, that like they're human beings, they're real business. And I think that resonates with people and connects. But I agree, like if tenants are being unreasonable, if somebody's posting something that's completely untrue or is completely one-sided, yeah, I say go after them. I mean,
on the owner side too, we've done that, where I've written an article called The C-Class Landlord, Are You One of Them? Posted to our website, and I refer people to that, because you get the landlords, that the past owners that don't want to make repairs, or they're just bad owners, and for some way, shape, or form, you guys end up parting ways, and I'm going to get them. I'm going to leave a negative online review.
Oh, yeah.
What they're looking to get is paid. They're looking to get paid. They're looking to hold you hostage, looking to get some sort of resolve where you write them a check. And people know that because too many businesses have rewarded bad behavior by contacting them. So, oh, we're so sorry. Will you take, you know, this amount in gift certificates to, you know, give us a second, right? And so you're not necessarily buying them off of it, but what you end up doing is trying to, trying to reward bad behavior, and people know this. And so, yeah, it's really kind of disheartening. Now, there's a couple other techniques out there that are hit or miss, and I don't know about them necessarily. There's non-disparagement clauses, and we used to have one. We removed it because we started to have so many reviews that one or two bad ones wouldn't kill us.
Yeah.
But I also think the non-disparagement...
It looked like outliers.
Yeah, exactly. And that might be coming around again because, you know, even though they passed that law about, not being able to use that clause necessarily, yeah, I still think it's enforceable. And so I think the current administration looks upon that and saying that, yeah, if you want to be the one that challenges it, you know, pony up 10, 20, 30 grand for an online review, you could do it. But, you know, at the same token, I didn't want to scare away any more owners by that. Because once in a while,
right,
we'll get owners that read our management agreement and say, oh, there's a non-disparagement clause in there. I don't want to work with you guys. And we tell them, look, this is a two-way street. You know, we're not going to disparage you and you don't disparage us and everybody's happy. If you got a real issue with it, bring it to us. Or if you got a really, really bad issue, lawyer up and come after us. But, you know, for us to try and destroy our reputation online just because, you know, whatever you want to make up in your own head wasn't working out correctly because you're a C-class landlord. The hurricane that hit was our fault, right? You get those types of landlords. That just is not fair to us. And so we started to kind of punch back a little bit. So that was a long topic. Let's get away from that tangent because that's a fun thing for you and I to kick around. I do want to touch on... you talked about some of your long-term goals in the industry, and I wanted to dive that into. Let's talk about NARPM as a whole, as an organization. So, mm-hmm. I am a big part of it. I'm also very critical of it. I've been the type of person that will actually stand up and say, "Well, I don't like that part of NARPM." And instead of just bitching, I try to make comments and then volunteer to potentially help fix it. So, there are some things with NARPM that are I'm not real happy with at this point. There are some things I'm very happy with. You know, some of the things that they do in their conferences and their education, like you and I talk, are very positive. So, without this is a very touchy subject, so I don't want to try and pull too much out of you that you're not comfortable with. But, you know, for one thing I think of is I have a very hard time, difficult time with the rotating leadership that NARPM has. The leaders that they have been very good. I just don't like the fact that they're kind of voted in nonchalant with no competing votes. I don't like that fact. I don't like the fact they rotate every year. I don't like the fact that sometimes they're too much like a nonprofit and they check the box to get it done to move to the next year. So there's very little incentive to make kick-ass conferences. I mean, I'm over-the-top kick-ass conferences. There's very little incentive sometimes to do the over-the-top things. Now, if they did that, they'd have to charge more potentially, and they'd have to potentially get away from their nonprofit status, which they did in the beginning because that's what everybody does. But I think now they need to kind of focus more like they're a church, if that makes any sense. Because you have bishops and the popes and the diocese high leaders, you know, they're all making big bucks, six figures and plus. And so their incentives, even though they're all going to go to heaven, right? Their incentives are based on some monetary KPIs, key performance indicators. And so I'd love to see that transition a little bit down the future. People are always going to say, well, volunteer to fix it. Well, I mean, sometimes you can't right the ship. It's going to go its course forever and ever. And I'm not about to get out of that situation. I do like that organization a lot. I would just like to see some things changed because in the alternative, I went to Australia. I saw Leading Property Managers of Australia, which is now Leading Property Managers Association. I saw them, how they operate over there in their conferences and how they do things online, kind of their education levels. Very impressed with what they're doing over there. Now it's a different market. They get 2/3 penetration over there versus our 1/3. So it's a flip market. But what they're doing is they're running a for-profit organization. Okay, that's the FedEx. NARPM here is run by the post office. So if you had to boil it down, there's some opportunity for improvement, definitely. Now I've talked a lot, and hopefully I didn't steal some of your thunder, but productive things that you want to touch on that we can kind of kick around a little bit about that.
I mean, I look at it really simple. I look at simply like this. I mean, there was this really wise dude a while back that said, you can't put new wine in old skins, right? And so, because he had the same question, like, Mr. Jesus, why don't you just come in and change the Jewish religion and make it what it needs to be? instead of starting some sort of new thing here or like raising ruckus or being some weird heretic, right? And that was his response. Like, it's challenging when something is as big and as structured as it is to really create like a significant amount of change. I think what NARPM's really great at is education. And I think outside of that, there's going to be other things that are going, you know, educating nuts and bolts property management. Here's how to do property management, something I don't teach or focus on at all, right? And I think that their educational system is probably second to none. I can't think of any other organizations that really are teaching the nuts and bolts property management with designations, you know, to that degree and have that supportive of a culture. And so I do encourage people, like, make sure you're educated, make sure you know, and you're in touch with what's going on in the industry. And so I think there's a benefit there. My challenge with NARPM is basically when it comes to vendors. I think largely it's kind of vendor run. I think that vendors, nobody is really talking about which vendors are really helping or hurting the industry inside NARPM. They have to stay impartial because they're vendor funded in a lot of ways and at their events. And so I feel like that's caused a lot of people in the industry to do a lot of the same stuff that's not working. And I feel like that's kept the whole industry small and has held it back and prevented additional market share from being created.
Yeah, a lot of that, the basically on the vendor side, let's touch there. So if you were ever to go to a NAR conference, National Association Realtor Conference, they have thousands of vendors, hundreds of vendors. And, you know, we're lucky to get, you know, 30, 40, 50 at a regular conference. And maybe that's, you know, rounding down, rounding up, but it's certainly less than 100, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of times it's the venue constraints. It's not necessarily them, but they also put a very tough, you know, surrounding restrictions on how to join as far as a vendor and how to get into the conferences. And all that has to go back to the venue. So I see their restraints on that one. So this isn't turning into, I don't want to turn this into a, you know, complaint session over that. We touched on it. Okay. I got some things off my chest I wanted to say. Let's go back to this ties right into what you're potentially coming up with is you have an upcoming conference here in St. Louis in November next month. So I want you to spend some time talking about what that's going to be like and, you know, spend some time there and let's talk about that.
Yeah. So let me take a quick step back. So, I mean, our vision and mission at DoorGrow is to change the industry. That's like what drives me. So I know that I can have a massive ripple effect and impact through my clients. That if I can impact hundreds of property management businesses, they can impact hundreds of thousands of families, tenants, owners, and properties, you know, throughout the US. There's this massive impact and massive ripple effect. I honestly believe that good property management can change the world. I mean, if you look at how big the rental industry is compared to just the real estate industry, I think there's a lot of people that are connected to that. There's a lot of families that are in that. And I believe that bad management has a direct impact on people's families. Terrible landlords have a direct impact on people's families. I've been a renter and had a bad manager. I've had my AC out for like almost a month. You know, I've been in those situations and it's not comfortable. And I feel like property managers can have a significant impact in the world and we can create a big shift. But in the US, no one's even aware. Like property management has a massive awareness problem. The second issue after that is the perception problem that takes another hit. And so out of those that are aware of property management or know what a property manager is in the US, a lot of them have a negative perception. I think it's well-deserved and well-earned, unfortunately. And most property managers probably listening to this would say, oh yeah, all my competitors, they're terrible. Like they're bad. And there's a lot of bad property management companies and it's because they're struggling to grow. You can't be a great company or provide great service if your business isn't healthy and growing. If anything in nature that's not growing is dying. And a dying business isn't going to be able to provide great service. It just can't happen. And I think, our mission is to change that. And so that's why we're going to do this conference.
Yeah, the regular churn we're seeing is anywhere from 15 to 20%. So if you're not at least recovering your churn rate of just owners that are deciding to sell, owners that are moving back in, I mean, you are dying. If you are stagnant in your business development and you're only adding you know, as many doors as you lose, that's just going to keep you at the same level, which is fine. But one thing can shift. There could be one little shift in that, and all of a sudden the market stops bringing you easy doors, and now all of a sudden you're losing doors and losing revenue and facing potential tough decisions to where you have to lay people off, et cetera, or you do something different. So yeah, I mean, growth is the mindset that you need to get on, because if you can put that wheel in motion, it can go on forever and ever. Hey everyone, I want to take a quick break from the interview to tell you about the upcoming conference in Atlanta, Georgia, called Pulling Back the Curtain, happening this January 2019. This is a two-day event, with day one being presentation style of an exclusive group of property management entrepreneurs, followed by day two as small group sessions. Speakers include Dave Borden, Deb Newell, Mark Cunningham. My presentation at this event will be on closing business, discussing sales tactics that have helped us grow by adding more than one door per day for the last 2 years. Visit the PropertyManagementMastermind.com site to learn more.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discussed the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message. So back to the conference. Let's talk more details on that.
So what we're doing, so I wanted to create a conference, and I had the vision to do this since I started. Like, I just wanted to bring people together and create a conference in which the focus was on entrepreneurism. The focus was on the entrepreneur, how the entrepreneur can lower their pressure noise, how the entrepreneur can get the support that they need. Because I believe that one of the major, the number one problem in the industry when I do ask campaigns or reach out or ask people, what's the biggest challenge in your business, is getting more doors. It's like getting leads, getting doors, something along those lines. Number two challenge that I hear, if that's not their problem, is basically staffing, building a team, maintaining people, and that sort of thing. It's like the internal operating sort of system of the business. And so these are kind of the two major challenges. Either you're dealing with the challenge of growing or getting growth, or you're dealing with the challenge of how do I manage this growth, and how do I go from solopreneur to building a team and do that effectively. And most property management businesses that I've had, you know, privy to look inside, they have a team that's built on, they have a lot of churn right there just in their own team. And they aren't able to properly like attract millennials who are not interested in just monetary compensation. They want more than that. And they're also not able to get great work out of their people, because they're not, their business has no culture or system that allows them to be inspired. And so they end up being controlled. I mean, whenever we fail to inspire, we always control. And so so one of the things we're going to be showcasing or focusing on at this conference is how to build a business around the entrepreneur that supports them. I think there's too many coaches out there that their whole mindset is, this is what worked for me, and so everybody else should do it too. This is the magic org chart that everybody should have. Like, everybody should do Traction, or everybody should do the entrepreneur operating system, or everybody should, it's this one way that you should do it. And I believe that ultimately your business is going to look completely different than my business. But I believe there's processes to magically make that business work really efficiently, so that you, as your business gets bigger and larger, becomes easier. You have, like, as you add more people, your pressure noise go down. But most property management companies build a business that their life gets harder the more doors they add, the more people they add to their staff, the more questions they're getting all the time, the more stress they feel. And then they get to maybe 600 to 800 doors and they're pretty much burnt out, and they're trying to put somebody else into their position just to escape, and then they can do that. And then they're like not even involved in the business. I find a lot of property management companies, there's 600 to 800 doors or more, the business owner is like not really directly involved a lot anymore in some instances. And it's because of that stress and that pressure. And I believe that's the wrong way to build a company. So we've tripled our revenue in the last year. We did 95K last month, for example. And our business, my business is easier every day because of how we build our team. And this is stuff that I've learned through lots of coaches. This is stuff that we want to bring to the marketplace. And so So we have our seed program that's kind of this foundation for growth. It gets people out of that first problem. And that second problem, we're going to be announcing at the conference, DoorGrow OS, which is an operating system for the business that I've seen build multi-million dollar companies front row in some of the groups I've been involved in. And so we're going to be showcasing that. I'm bringing in Mike Michalowicz, who is the author of Profit First, The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur, The Pumpkin Plan, Surge, and Clockwork. And he's coming to speak, one of my favorite entrepreneurial authors. And he's going to be talking about what I believe is about to happen in this industry, which is a surge, which is that this industry is finally going to get past that dam of shitty marketing that's been holding it hostage for the last two decades. And it's going to start to shift eventually to be more like Australia. I don't know that we'll see the level where it is in Australia, where single family is like 80% professionally managed, but we have a long way to get there. And even if in the US, we went from maybe 20, 30% or wherever we are in most markets in management to 50, you know, or 60% eventually, I don't believe there's enough property management companies in the US to handle that level of growth. I just don't believe there's enough businesses that could even handle doubling their own business. They would break. They just can't, they can't handle it. It's the same concept as trying to put wine in old wineskins. Something fundamentally has to change inside their business dramatically. So my goal is to build companies that can handle this surge from the ground up. And so some of our clients were rehabbing their business, and some are startups that have gotten to 200 doors in like a year or two. And so my goal is to create the businesses that can handle what I believe is going to happen. I mean, if the bubble bursts and the real estate market collapses, property management will be good again. But right now, some of the largest companies are losing more doors than they're getting on because of the sell-off. And they can't outspend. They're maxing out their budgets. They can't spend any more money to get any more doors on doing marketing or advertising. I talked to a 12,000 door company at the conference, came up to me. I said, "What's your biggest challenge?" It was getting doors. They're losing more doors than they're getting on. And I've talked to several 1,200 around door companies, and they have the same challenge because these guys already have the top spot on Google. They're already maxing out their ad budgets on pay-per-click, on AdWords. They're already doing all the APM they want to. They're doing everything. And then all the little guys are thinking, well, I'm going to do what those big guys are doing. And they show up like David versus Goliath and trying to compete with that. But David had a hack. David had something different. And so I believe there's something different and more effective that people could be doing. And that I want to inspire the entire industry to start focusing on creating market share instead of everybody doing the same stupid stuff, fighting over the existing market share that's there. So something I want to point out to your listeners, just to disrupt this mindset that they should be doing pay-per-click SEO, content marketing, or social media marketing, or any of that kind of advertising related stuff, is that if you go on Google Trends, you can go to trends.google.com right now and Google Trends, and this allows you to see search volume. And so you can put in property management as a phrase, change it to the US, change it, filter it with the dates since the earliest that it will let you to the present, which is 2004. And you will see that property management, search volume for property management has not increased since 2004. In fact, since July of 2011, it's been on a decline steadily. It's been declined. Less people are searching for property management. But because of all the marketers targeting NARPM and targeting the space, they're all pushing that you should do content marketing. Why? SEO. You should do social media marketing. Why? SEO. You should do focus on SEO. You should do AdWords. You should do all this search engine marketing. Why? Because find the people that are searching for property management. That is such a tiny, I mean, we've got what, maybe 20, 30% of the market are actually professionally managed. That's the existing market share. The ones that you can actually get away from another company or that are in pain right now is a fraction of that. It's even smaller. And that's what everyone's fighting over, the shittiest, coldest, most price sensitive, worst leads, the ones that word of mouth couldn't capture. And it's at the very end of the sales cycle. And there's tons of blue ocean at the front end of the sales cycle where there's no awareness. People are not aware of property management. They're self-managing. and you've got, that might be like maybe 60, 70, 80% of your market are self-managing. And that's the blue water. If we can get the entire industry to stop fighting with each other and competing in that area and go into the blue ocean, there's way less competition. And this is how we've been able to help our clients add 100, 200 doors in a very short period of time, because we help them shore up all the leaks in their sales pipeline that are preventing, causing leaks, because they're turning on that spigot of marketing and they've got these major leaks in the hose, so nothing's coming out the other end. They're hoping for contracts. So we shore up those leaks and then we get them to do prospecting and go into that blue ocean. And I believe if the industry as a whole started to do that, we'd see a significant shift. We would see everybody start to shift towards being more like Australia. I think other things will drive that. Increased legislation, like you said, that's coming. That will happen. It will be driven by more property managers getting into that blue water. I think it will happen. I think things like owner's insurance and stuff has driven that need in Australia, or made people feel safer with property managers. That potentially could shift and happen here. You know, there's a few things that could drive that. So this is the shift I want to create. And so at DoorGrow Live, we will be talking about the future of this industry, what I believe needs to happen to change people's perception. And we're even going to get into, I'm going to be opening up about DoorGrow OS and how I run my business internally, and sharing some of the secrets for how you can create high-paced, scalable growth and culture that inspires your team.
Talk to us more about the time frame of that conference and the pricing and the location and all that good stuff, the three W's there.
Yeah, so it is in St. Louis. Originally, we planned to do it. It's on the 14th through the 16th. We were originally planning to do it somewhere else, but then we got a lot of feedback saying, hey, that's the same week as NARPM's leadership conference. And so we said, their leadership training. So we said, okay, well, I talked to Gail and we're like, all right, well, why don't we put these together somehow? And so we moved it to St. Louis. It's at the same venue as the NARPM leadership conference, the same week, just at the tail end of that same week. And so it's 14th through 16th. It's in St. Louis at the Chase Park Plaza, and it starts the evening of the 14th. And we're going to do some things that are really unique. If everything goes according to plan, we only invited the vendors to this conference that we believe are the best, that we feel like we are helping our vision of changing the industry, the best in each category, or the people that we think are the game changers in the industry. We've got, I think, 19 vendor spots, and I think something like that available. And we've closed all of them except four, and we have a few contracts outstanding, and hopefully we'll wrap those up. But we've got the best vendors there. We've got people everybody's heard of, Property Mail, Tenant Turner, you know, et cetera. And then we've got Mike McAllowitz. We've got Alex Sharfin, who built a $100 million real estate company and then sold it, and now scales and grows businesses. We've got him coming to speak. I've got John Paramore, who grows and scales companies and is a badass in the roofing and contractor industry at building sales teams. And so John and I will most likely be speaking from the stage and announcing a new product offering, if all goes well, called DoorGrow BDM, which is where a lot of companies fail, is most property managers are part-time shitty salespeople running their own company. So they spend maybe 10 to 5 hours, maybe max, on growing their business a week. So we want to change that as well and put high-grade, you know, awesome vetted BDMs into their business locally, and so and support and train and onboard, help them onboard them. So, and we're going to be showcasing DoorGrow OS, DoorGrow BDM, our new seed program, and then there's one more thing that's kind of a secret, and I don't know that we'll be presenting it there, but I'm going to show my roadmap for what I believe will create a high growth company so they can handle this surge. And we've got three Australians coming where the industry is seasoned: Darren Hunter, Dennis Youssef, and Michael Sands. And interestingly, Michael Sands is the only property management business owner that's actually speaking from the stage. This is not a bunch of nuts and bolts property management or people talking about stuff they've already heard or talking about how to run, you know, like how to do property management. We're talking about what really works in the real world outside of the industry and everywhere for creating real scalable, rapid growth. And my goal is that everybody walks away from this conference with at least the beginnings and skills underpinnings of a real roadmap for 2019 so that they have scalable growth, including their annual 90-day and 30-day goals. So
how does somebody sign up for that? Where do they take a look at it and get into it?
They just go to doorgrowlive.com and they can see everything about it. Check out the venue page. Check out the speakers. I think tickets are $1,000 right now, roughly. And they'll be going up just shortly before I think right here at the end of the month. And so they can check it out there.
And if you offer them, they can use the discount code BRAD.
That's right, Brad.
Yeah. Tell them about that.
Yeah. So plug in Brad. And so we know you came from the show and you'll get a discount. I'm not sure off the top of my head what it is. My operator set it up, but we've got a discount available for you there. Put in Brad and you can get a little discount on your ticket.
Cool. Give us a quick little minute on the Facebook page you got going.
So we wanted to create the ultimate community. One of the things we noticed is that other companies that are doing social media marketing or whatever, they didn't even have a social media presence or a Facebook group that allowed people to really communicate about openly about their product or offering. And we were hearing so much negative feedback on it, we knew they couldn't. We felt confident and safe that we could put all our clients in a room and with prospective clients, and it would just make us more money. Because we get such amazing results. Like people, our results are really ridiculous and people have a hard time believing it. And so we figured, the other thing we noticed is that I want to create this culture of collaboration over competition. This is part of my vision and mission for the industry. And it just didn't seem to really exist. So we created this Facebook group called the Door Grow Club. And it's been phenomenally successful. We get over 15,000 interactions in a single month. On our stats, we have only 1,500 people in there right now, but we only let in the entrepreneurs or business owners. And we have about in a 28-day or a 1-month period, we have about 1,300 of them are active. The engagement is ridiculous. I've never seen engagement in a Facebook group like this. I'm privy to being able to see the stats in some of my other entrepreneurial buddies' Facebook groups and stuff. And our stats are that of groups that are 10 times that size in terms of engagement. And so it's ridiculous. And I believe that this group is helping us change the culture of the industry, and it's helping us to change the perception inside the industry. And it's helping entrepreneurs connect, because I think one of the challenges is a lot of entrepreneurs, we think we're alone. Like it's alienating. It feels like we're aliens on a planet of people that want safety and certainty. And we're these crazy cowboys. And everybody's always telling us we're too much, or we should stop, or we should go get a job. And so I wanted to create a place that I would feel comfortable with and get people together and create that culture. But to be honest, this was our third attempt. The first two were failures. We tried two other groups before that. I tried a Facebook group, then we tried doing it on a different platform, and they really were failures. And so we learned from that. And I had to create a podcast in order to create the community and make that happen. I had to create clients that believed in my vision of making a difference in the industry, that would be contributors and that would understand that it doesn't have to be so competitive. There can be collaboration. I believe that the property management industry right now in your market, Brad, or in anybody's market, if they were able to level up all the other companies that you compete with or that they compete with, there would be more business for all of you. But the negative perception of all of every company's competitors in their market is hurting your ability to grow and scale your business. That perception hurdle is a challenge. And so when an industry is underseasoned or is in its infancy, really in terms of growth or perception, its businesses are far more effective at building the category than building their own brand. And so the category of property management needs to be built. People need to understand it. And so that's the culture we wanted to create inside the Door Grow Club. And it's been working. And we put a lot of effort into it.
What's the best method for folks to reach you? Because I think this has intrigued them quite a bit to check you out. So how do they get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way is if they want to join our Facebook group, they have to apply and they can go to doorgrowclub.com And they can check that out. If they're interested in hearing my podcast, they can go to doorgrowshow.com. And the easiest way to reach DoorGrow is just go to doorgrow.com.
Thanks for coming on, Jason. We'll be looking to see you in the future.
Awesome, Brad. Thanks for having me on the show.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.